Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. If the family is the bedrock of society, it makes sense that stable marriages are the bedrock of the family. That's why divorce is so damaging. In divorce, there are no winners. Today, why marriage must be viewed as a lifetime proposition. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer speaks on playing for keeps.
Well, this is number 10 in a series of messages entitled Fighting for Your Family. And for many of you, it may be the most important message of the series. Because of the fact that marriage is so serious, and we know that when the fall happened, when man fell in the Garden of Eden, it affected his marriage terribly, and everything went wrong. And the fall still does the very same to us today. And because of the tension that exists in the marriage relationship, it has become a source of much humor. And I thought that before I begin this message, which is a very serious one that I hope will transform your life, maybe we could just relax and enjoy the fact that human nature is very interesting. So here we go. First of all, I want to talk about the insensitivity of men. Ladies, if you say amen, say it quietly in your heart. There's a story about a woman who said to her husband, "You know that I love race cars. I can race them really fast here in Montana." And she knew he had enough money to buy her one. She said, when I wake up on my birthday, on the driveway, I want something that I can make go from 0 to 140 in 8 seconds. Well, she got up on her birthday, looked on the driveway, and on the driveway was a bathroom scale. Funeral services for the husband are pending. There was a woman who was looking into the mirror, and she said, "I feel so awful about the way in which I look." She said, "I've got weight issues." She said, "I've got lines on my face. My teeth are crooked." She said, "I just look so awful." She said to her husband, "Right now, I need a compliment from you." He said, "Well, dear, your eyesight is near perfect." A man went to his pastor and said, "You know, my wife is trying to poison me." He said, "Oh, no." He said, "I know your wife. She's a nice woman. There's no way she's trying to poison you." He said, "Pastor, there's another side to her that you don't know." He said, "Go talk to her." Pastor came back later that afternoon and said to the man, he said, "You know, I just spent 3.5 hours talking with your wife." He said, "I have some advice for you." The man said, "What?" Pastor said, "Take the poison." When you and I get married and we stand at the altar, we bring to that event the seeds of destroying any relationship. Because we bring to that event ourselves, the fact that we want to be the center of our own world. We long to be served and not to serve. We are selfish. We may be filled with anger. We may be filled with jealousies and expectations and uncertainties and insecurities. And there we stand and we commit to one another until death do us part. Somebody has said that getting married is taking the ego of a man and the vanity of a woman and putting them together in this intimate relationship, and it is like having heart surgery without anesthetic. And so God puts them together and says, "Fight it out and enjoy." It's like somebody said that for my birthday, he said, "Somebody gave me a humidifier and somebody else gave me a dehumidifier, and I put them in the same room and just let them fight it out." I do believe that this message is going to be transforming. I've been praying that couples who are on the verge of divorce, couples who are in trouble with their marriage, are going to be changed because of this message. I really do believe that. Rebecca asked me this morning how the message was coming along, and I said, if the Holy Spirit of God comes to open people's minds and hearts, as I lay my own heart on the altar, so to speak, as I plead with you regarding your marriage, I believe that God can change your marriage no matter where you are at. And if you're in a good marriage, I believe that this message will help all of us to make our good marriages better. First of all, I'd like to deal with three lies that our culture gladly accepts. Three lies, and lie number one is very clear. My happiness is number one. My happiness is most important. I had a man say to me one time, well, I'm unhappy in this marriage, and I can't believe that God would want me to be unhappy. What if Jesus had said that in Gethsemane? I'm unhappy here in the garden, and I don't believe that the Father would want me to be unhappy, and going to the cross made me very unhappy. My dear friend, very quickly may I say that it is much more important to be holy than it is happy. And God put you in that marriage to make you holy, guaranteeing not happiness, but holiness, if you respond to it correctly. Second lie of our culture is this, that if you find the right person, you'll really be fulfilled. What you need to do is to find your soulmate. So a married man at the water cooler meets a woman who just listens to him and just adores him, and he's found his soulmate. Really? I remember a man in this church many, many years ago who said, I found an oasis. I'm living in a desert. I found an oasis. And now you want me to go back to the desert, he said, as many of us tried to convince him not to leave his wife and marry somebody else. But he chose the oasis and discovered that it was terribly poisonous. Would have been better, you know, if he had just stayed right in the desert, actually. You know, when we are in the period of romance, when we're in romance, we are the most deceptive, lying people that we ever are in our lives. Because we put forth our best self, we have this shimmering image that we project. And then after we move in and we get married, we suddenly discover there's a beep, beep, and the movers move in, and all of the baggage now gets unloaded. And here's a baggage of anger. Here's a baggage of insecurity. Here's a baggage of high expectations. Here's a baggage of laziness. And after our mate's baggage gets brought into the house, then ours comes, and there we are. I tell young people today that it is very important to realize this. Young people, write this down. It is possible for you to be madly in love with someone you should never marry. And that's true of older people, too. You could fall in love with somebody else's wife. The best poster child for recognizing that it's possible to be in love with someone you should not marry is myself. You can put me up on the fridge and say he's the poster child. Before I met Rebecca, I was madly in love with this young woman. And I thank God today that I didn't marry her. I might not be in ministry if I had married her. God wanted me to wait for Rebecca, and how glad I am I did to recognize that feelings itself and thinking that you have found your soulmate can backfire. There's a third lie of our society. If I find my soulmate, I'm justified in breaking my vows. If I find my soulmate, I'm justified. Like one person said, well, you know, even David got his Bathsheba, he said to me. Yeah. I told him, I said, yeah, David did get his Bathsheba, and you know what else happened? He wrecked his family, lost four sons, but yeah, he did get his Bathsheba, okay? The Bible says in the 15th Psalm, blessed is he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Blessed is the man who swears to his own hurt and does not change. You say, I got married and now I have buyer's remorse. I know somebody who bought a vehicle and brought it into the garage, and the moment they did, they wished they could take it back. Buyer's remorse. Maybe you think you didn't marry the right one. Well, It's not as important that you marry the right one as it is that you be the right one, that you be a person of character. You know, it is impossible for me to over-exaggerate the pain in this world because of divorce. A counselor was telling me how that this couple divorced, this man ran off with his girlfriend, he's living with his girlfriend, so a divorce ensues, and now they have a little one-year-old girl. And he gets the little one-year-old on weekends. So this mother attends a sporting event where her other son was involved in. And she looks down, and just in the rows ahead of her, there's her ex-husband, there's his girlfriend playing mom to this little one-year-old. How much grief can a person endure anyway? I was reading somebody who does marriage counseling full-time. He says that many people who divorce regret it later on because they underestimated the amount of pain, disruption, heartache that would come to them if they were to divorce. And this soulmate turns out to be poisonous in the end anyway. There are two things that should never happen prematurely. One is embalming, and the other is to get a divorce. Now, with that introduction, what I'd like to do is to ask us to turn to the Bible for a moment, and thank you for catching on to that, by the way. I debated whether or not, you know, it would float, but evidently it did. The fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, because this is what we're going to do. I'm going to give you three characteristics of the kind of love that we commit ourselves to when we get married. And then what I want to do is to give you five principles of marriage that I hope are going to help you and keep some of you from divorce and help some of you who are in a loveless marriage to get a reboot and a restart. Well, as you can see, this message was preached with a great deal of conviction because I believe that God can interfere in marriages, that He can bring about healing, forgiveness, and restoration. And for those of you who may be on the verge of divorce or thinking about it, I sure hope that you tune in to Running to Win next time for the continuation of this very, very important message. And if you say, Pastor Lutzer, I am in a good marriage, I hope that you will listen, because I preached it to make good marriages even better. This is really part of a larger series of messages entitled Fighting for Your Family. And you do have to fight today, don't you? There are so many enemies of the family, and that's why I deal with issues of divorce and money and abuse and other kinds of matters that families face today. It is my intention and my prayer that your life, that your family life will be transformed by God's holy word and the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Now, Dave has some very important information for you right now.
Today, Erwin Lutzer introduced Playing for Keeps, his last message in a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Next time on Running to Win, more guidelines on making your marriage permanent. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Fighting for Your Family. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.